Okay, we want to talk about this morning about this Thrive thing that we're doing. This is kind of our theme for this year. How many of you have felt like this week, this whole week, you thrived? You just thrived. Everything was awesome, great. And yeah, see, look at this, look at that. I had to try and fix my toilet this week, okay? Let's not talk about thriving here with me. But it's our emphasis this year, and there's a reason for that. Jesus said this. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the fullest or have it to the very most or the utmost. Or in a sense, you could say, I've come that you guys might all what? Thrive in life, so that whether your toilet works or it doesn't work, or your washing machine, which I'll try and fix this afternoon, bounces all over the garage, which it does, that there can be joy in the midst of that, and there can be a sense of peace, and there can be a sense of hope, not just that it gets fixed, but that I can make it through this afternoon trying to fix it, but also a little bit deeper than that, that the relationships that I have can get better. The bitterness in my soul or my heart can actually begin to move away and go away, and that I can actually have a joy as I look towards the future in my life. This is what Jesus is talking about, and this is the life that he not only wants to provide, but he will provide. And I want that for me, and I want that for you. And that combines not just simply the spiritual, but it also talks about the relational. It's also going to talk about the emotional, because those things are really, really tied closely together. Before we get any farther, can I take a moment and pray with you, please? So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, you love us so much, and that you want us to live lives that are full. And you sent your Son so that we might have forever life and forever forgiveness. And on that basis, God, we want to move forward in faith and trusting in you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you use a map on your phone when you're driving? Any of you use that? Okay, we do that. How many of you have ever yelled at the map on your phone when you're driving? You don't understand what I'm trying to say, you know, on this one. Maps are cool, and they tell us really, when you look at, they tell us where things are, but they also tell us how our world is, don't they? I mean, you've seen that. Have you ever seen those maps made a long time ago? Those ancient maps. But we're gonna show a few of them. Go ahead, Margaret, if you would. There, that's a map that was made a long time ago of North America. See that right there? See, that's what they thought North America looked like a long time ago. And this one came about. Next one, if you would. This one's about the 1600s. Okay, that's what they look at. That's what they were looking at. And notice South America is pretty well figured out, but North America is not. And then there's this one. This one's getting a little closer here, a little bit closer to what it looked like. A little bit off, but it's even closer here. This one's a really funny one. Go ahead, next one, if you would. This is the best one of all. Yeah, that's the one that's most helpful. Let's not do the last one. Well, let's do the last one. Go ahead. Is there one more on this one? There you go. How about that map right there? It's the most accurate of all of them. Now, maps really are only as good as how accurate they are, right? I mean, when you think about it, maps, and you're going to follow with me if you could with this one, maps are only as good as how accurate they are. If it's a messed up map, you're going to get what? You're going to get messed up. You're going to get lost and wander and not get where you want to go. Now, think of maps in a little bit different way, if you could. Maybe not directions to Home Depot, but the one in your head about how life is and how life works. For instance, how do I get to forgiveness? Or how do I get to joy? Or how do I get to hope? That map, that directional map. How do I get to a place of peace or a place of spiritual growth? How do I get to a place of understanding my spouse? How do I get to that spot? And we all have kind of mental maps on how that's supposed to happen. We have those. Have you ever had a map that's wrong? A map that's wrong? Where does it get you? It doesn't get you to the place that you need to be or you want to be. And that's a problem, because our maps in our lives or in our heads on how to get to these sometimes emotional places or spiritual places are sometimes drawn what? Wrong. They're incorrect. And as a result, since they were drawn incorrect at some point in our lives, or maybe even more recently, we try and follow that path and we can't get to where we want to get, where we want to go, because they're drawn what? They're drawn wrong. They were drawn incorrectly. One of those maps, it had big blank spots in the Pacific Northwest. Have you noticed that? You know why they were blank spots? Because nobody had been there before, okay? It had gone unexplored. And the reality is there's large parts even of our lives that are blank spots. They've gone unexplored. We've never been there before. And when you're moving maybe to a new territory in your relationship or even in your life or in your world, you've never been there before. And if you've never been there before, how are you going to get to where you want to go? Does this make sense? Yeah, and this is kind of some of the dilemmas we face. For instance, some of us don't know how to forgive. We've never been there before. Or we don't know how to not rage. We've never been there before. Sometimes the maps that we have in our heads, were drawn in a very hurtful setting. In your past, the maps that were drawn in a very hurtful or even abusive setting. And we think, well, that's how the way the world is. We think it's the way that it was drawn in a very painful setting. That's how things are. I know people who have had horrible fathers, horrible dads in their lives. And they hear that God is their heavenly what? Father. And that word triggers because a map was drawn in a hurtful setting of how a father is. Follow how that happens? And you just wonder, man, with all this complexity, how do we even survive, you know? And we don't always that well. And that's why Jesus came to say, I've come to give you real life. And here's the real map. And if you follow this map, you can have life abundantly, because he would know the way for that. And if Google Maps messed up, we'd all be lost and messed up. Trying to get to here or there, but going the wrong way, or going a way that'll never get us there. And oftentimes, boy, so often, we're going in a direction that'll never get us to where we need to really go and want to go. And it's like, it's no wonder we feel lost. It's like, it's no wonder we feel lost. Or we ask the question, why can't I heal from this? It's because we're on the wrong road here. Or why can't we talk about this without getting angry or defensive? We've never been down that road before, and we're on the wrong path. Or why do I just jump from job to job or relationship to relationship? Or how come I'm having trouble loving and forgiving? This goes on the wrong road. It'll never get us there. And we don't have a map to do it. Now, what kind of God would leave us in this world all lost? Not our God. God said, I'm going to give you a way to get there. And it's not always that easy, but it's right. And sometimes you're going to have to climb some summits and hills and all that, but that's the way you need to get there. And that's why Jesus says this, I want you to have life to the fullest. I've came for you to have life to the fullest on this. We talked about an equation last week, and if you weren't here, that's okay. Lasting change really comes from this, and growth comes from this equation. Grace plus truth plus time plus community equals change and growth. Okay, all of those elements are necessary. I'm switching from maps to equations, but hold on with this one. I don't really believe you can really grow or change unless you have all these and have these the way God meant them to be had, okay? Now, I also believe that the church provides these, a church, a church family, can provide grace and truth and time and all that stuff. But you also understand that in all kinds of change and all kinds of destination getting to or trying to get to a destination, there's a my part to it. In fact, the Bible says this, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you. That means, among other things, that there's a my part in this, okay? There's a my part that I have to work out. I can't just kind of sit here in a holy pose and suppose that God is going to somehow make all these changes and wonderful changes in my life. I wish it worked that way because it would be a lot easier for me, but it doesn't. In fact, in the long run, it's better that it just doesn't happen like that. And this verse means we have a role in our growth, or you could say, I'm responsible for my growth. And as I take the efforts to do it, God's going to work in my life. We have a responsibility for this fullness of life. That's part of growing up. That's part of being mature. That's part of maturity. That's part of human maturity completely. In fact, you want, if you have children, you want your children to begin to take responsibility for their growth. That's what teaches you or tells you that they're becoming adults, okay? When they don't just yell at the table and say, I'm hungry, but when they actually get to the refrigerator and drink all your milk, you know your kid's growing up, okay? That's how you know. Now there's a pathway that's kind of needed for this kind of growth, the things that you will do, and this is our part, okay? It includes these, and I'm going to run through these fast. I'm going to go through these again slower. I have to realize my need. First of all, I have to realize a need. I have to move toward others because I can't make changes on my own. We've talked about that. I have to challenge my distorted thinking, my wrong map, and I have to take risks. Okay? If you want real change and real growth to happen in your life, these things need to begin to happen here. For emotional maturity or spiritual maturity or relational maturity, every counselor, psychologist will help you figure that out. And I was actually, when I planned this message out, God, a bunch of months ago, I was going to talk about all the dysfunctional people in the Bible. But I thought, wait a second, we'd be here all afternoon and evening. There's too many. The Bible says there's none righteous, not one. In fact, you go through the Bible, and it doesn't take you long to realize the dysfunctional people are there, just like the dysfunctional people are where? Here as well on this one. So I went with this guy in the New Testament, and we picked on him before. I pick on him a lot, but his story illustrates this. And how he breaks out of his distorted thinking and his weird, goofy map of life and actually begins to live life abundantly. He says, give us hope that there can be change. Change can happen. It really can be. And it's a story of Zacchaeus, and his story is in Luke 19. And if you have a Bible with you, great, wonderful, turn to it. If you don't, I'm going to do a little commercial. We have Bibles at the Welcome Center. If you want one, take one. You know, we'll give them to you. Just ask for one. They're great ones. And this one's in Luke 19, and here we go. Okay, just follow the story. Familiar one, by the way. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Big bucks. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It's a fun story. It's a cool one. But it raises some questions for me. Who names their kid Zacchaeus? This guy got three consonants and then three vowels in a row. I mean, who does that? And the second thing, well, anyway, we know he was short, okay? The fact is we know he was short because it says it, all right? And we're going to come back to that. This is what we know about Zacchaeus. And we know that he was tax collector. And that's pretty different than the IRS guy in our life. Tax collectors back then were independent contractors. And independent contractors, they had to bid for their territory for a large sum. And Jericho was a very lucrative place, all right, to collect taxes. And what he had to do was collect a certain amount. He had to bid for his territory, collect a certain amount of taxes, and give to Rome, but he could keep the rest. Now, does that open the door up for corruption or what? Okay, you understand where this could, all of this could go? And people hated Rome, and they hated the tax collectors and Zacchaeus. He's not just a tax collector. He is, as it would say, a chief tax collector. Chief, meaning he had a bunch of guys working underneath him. And maybe he bid $5 million for the Jericho territory, but it's not a big deal because he's going to haul in this year $9 million. Okay? I mean, we're talking that kind of money here. Now, obviously, this opened things up for exploitation. You know, you let your friends pay less, you let the big businesses pay a lot less, you know, and you make your enemies pay more. So he's the guy in the house, you know, with a huge house on the hill, rolling in the money, and everyone hates him. So I would think that when he hears Jesus coming, and he's short, and there's a crowd lining, you know, for the parade, I don't know, I always think if I were to see Zacchaeus there, this short little guy, you know, he wants to see him, and I'm sorry about that, you know, and he was maybe voted most punchable face or something in school. But that's outside Zacchaeus, okay? That's outside Zacchaeus. Inside Zacchaeus, there's a map that's been drawn in his life, okay? And obviously people are the way they are, not just because they're deeply mean inside, but oftentimes it's because they're deeply damaged on the inside. And that's Zacchaeus. That's inside Zacchaeus. What's going on there? I said this a few weeks ago, and I really believe it's true. You cannot be emotionally healthy without being loved. You cannot be emotionally healthy without being loved. And you can't be loved unless you are emotionally healthy. Because I really believe that's true. And we can say that this guy wasn't very popular, Zacchaeus, and he tried to see Jesus but couldn't, and people were not letting him in. And it says he's short, and I don't know his story. But I do know that being short in middle school, like I was, is like being in Dante's fifth level of hell. You're just a little kid among kids that are hitting puberty and shaving in seventh grade, okay? And I'll speculate here, but the maps that we draw during that time and even before can go something like this. And maybe this was Zacchaeus' map. I'm lonely. People must not like me very much. Maybe I don't deserve love. And maybe I have to protect myself from others. And if I'm going to do it, and if I'm going to live life, I'm going to have to live life on my own. Okay? Do you understand how this is beginning to form? See how the map is being drawn in his life? And I'll show them, you know, because I can figure out a way I can beat them. All these people that have hurt me, and little Zacchaeus is now trying to make his life work, as do we all try and make our lives work. And the crazy things we do and the crazy things we say, and so he finds a way to show them I can make money and mess with them by becoming a tax collector, because screw them, who needs them anyway? Okay, do you understand that? Do you understand how he got where he is? Let's look at those things that need to happen in our own lives, okay? First of all, if you're going to have these kinds of changes and move towards that, you have to realize your need. You have to realize your need. Zacchaeus hears Jesus is coming and has to see him. He has to see him. Bartimaeus is a blind guy, and he hears Jesus is coming. And so he begins to holler out. And the people told Bartimaeus to shut up, but he keeps calling. And so Jesus comes up to him and says this. And Mark referred to this. Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? What a stupid question. You know, you're blind. Well, you know, what do you think? This thing is driving me absolutely insane. This is what I want, to do. Okay, let's see if we can let it hang and make it work. What do you want me to do for you? What kind of question is that? You know, it's a good one. Because it's making him define what he's really asking. And Jesus is going to cause us to define what's the real problem in our life. So I guess if you want to write this one down, if Jesus were to ask you, what do you want me to do for you, what would you say? What would you say? It causes us to define what the real problem is. And in your conversations with others, as they wonder where to go next, say, well, where do you really want God to go with you? Second thing, move towards others for help. You have to move towards others for help. Of course, ultimately, you move towards God, but you also need others to go with you. The Bible says this, okay? The Bible's going to mention this, and this is why I say a church family helps you in this change and transition and thrive process. It says, you're a body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. You're not going to get your glasses on if you don't have hands. It just doesn't work that way. And what it's saying is, we need others in our lives in order for change to begin to happen. And a church family is like a body, and you cannot get whole without the body working. And we get emotionally amputated when we're not open to other people. And Zacchaeus, instead of saying, I don't need anybody, finally has to say, I need somebody. I need somebody in my life. I need somebody. Once you isolate, you will stop growing. Once you isolate, you stop growing. At some point in time, Zacchaeus isolated, and he stopped growing. And so he's still playing children's games to get revenge back on the people that hurt him so much. Who does that? But he stopped growing in middle school emotionally, and that's where he still is. Next one is, I have to start challenging my distorted thinking. And this is the map. These are the maps that we've drawn. For instance, people can't be trusted. That was his map. Or I'm going to get hurt if I get in a relationship. Or I'm better off on my own. Or I can handle this all by myself. Or God can't like what I'm doing. Or that's just the way I am. Or my marriage can't get any better. You have to start challenging distorted thinking. That's what an adult does. You challenge the distorted thinking that's there in order to make the changes. The Bible says, for as he has thought in his soul, so he is. Or as a man thinks in your heart, that's the way you're going to become. And you have thoughts that dominate you that are just messed up. And I guess I would say, you want to know how you can tell how healthy you are on this one? What's your self-talk when you mess up? What do you call yourself when you mess up? What do you say to yourself? Is it, I knew I was a jerk? I'm such an idiot, you know? Or is it, God really still loves me? And in this broken time, I need to know that. Okay, next you have to take risks. There has to be risk involved. If you're going to grow, and you know this, risk is doing it differently. Have you ever been in a fight with your spouse? I never have, by the way. And you just want to say in the back of your head, here we go again. You know, here we go again. Here we go again. Do something different. Stop and pause it and do something different here. Zacchaeus takes a risk. He climbs a tree. Who does that? And then Jesus said, Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I must stay in your house. Now Zacchaeus could have said, nah, I don't do that. Or that's not me. That's not me. And what I think is that as you start to think about making the changes, taking the risks, challenging your distorted thinking. God will give you a risk for you to take. It may not be surfing Mavericks, but it may be call someone to get the help with something that you need in your life. Or take the risk and call a counselor to help you walk through it, or take the risk and we'll grab coffee and we'll talk together, you know, or you can buy me lunch. That's a risk, or whatever you want. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. There it is. It's a risk. But here it comes. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now, obviously, risk has consequences. And here it comes. All the words that he heard as a middle school kid or growing up, you're a jerk, you're an idiot, it all comes flooding back. He called attention to himself. He's not wanted to do that for years, but he heard this. And with this one, we're going to wind it down, okay? God will redeem my scars and my hurts and make me thrive. God will redeem those hurts and scars and help you thrive on this one. People are ticked off at Zacchaeus. They're really ticked off because Zacchaeus, of all the people in town, Zacchaeus is the one that's going to host Jesus, of all the people in town here, which revealed their mental map, okay? Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. Half. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Now, I think it's pretty cool. His map was all messed up, and he had done detours into swamps and thorns and mosquitoes all his life. But all those detours were for a purpose, as someone who got ripped off by good old Zacchaeus 5 years ago, received a check in the mail a few days later, and it was God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. How do I know I've got this? How do I know I've got this? And this is a process, obviously. I know I've got this when I'm more dissatisfied with doing the same thing with no results. Okay? I oftentimes will do the same thing and get the same results, and I think, why does this keep happening? When I start getting more dissatisfied because I keep doing the same thing and I don't get out of that track or that rut and say, God's got a different way to do things and is beginning to reach out and seek him. And I would say God is speaking, and sometimes people will say, I felt like God's speaking to me. And maybe that's like going on right now. You're saying, I got to stop doing things the way I'm doing things because it's not working in my life. And God is maybe telling you, told you it doesn't work, you know. I know I've got this when I realize it's my responsibility to make the changes in my life. That's just growing up. That's just growing up. And with God's help, you do, and you can. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, to set up behind me, and we're going to, in a moment, do a final song. But I said a little earlier, I cannot be emotionally healthy without being loved. You can't, okay? You just can't. That's part of the component of emotional health, is being loved. And I can't love or even accept love without being emotionally healthy. And something's got to break into that thing, and that's God who breaks in with an unconditional love for you. He breaks in and intervenes, and all of a sudden you feel unconditional love, and you start getting emotionally healthy, and you begin to hear the love of other people. Zacchaeus began that process of getting emotionally, mentally, and particularly spiritually healthy because Jesus entered in. Jesus entered into his world. The love of Jesus hit him. That somebody could love him and accept him for all his life being a jerk. okay, being a jerk. And being a jerk doesn't mean you rip people off. Being a jerk maybe sometimes means I'm arrogant and I'm prideful. And all of a sudden Zacchaeus realized, I don't want that life anymore. I don't like that life anymore. Life's bigger than me, and it's about God. And maybe your mental map of how the world works has not included God in a big enough way. And he's the one that guides you and leads you and helps you. And we would love a chance to have you experience that. How can I be emotionally healthy without love? And how do I get it? It's the love of Christ. It constrains us, compels us, and motivates us. I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now, if you would. Bow your head and maybe close your eyes. Maybe God has been speaking to you just about you. And maybe you've gotten some clarity on why you do what you do, and instead of being rock hard about not changing, you're beginning to say, I'm not happy with the way I've been. And I've hurt people because of the way I've been. People that I should be really loving have been hurt by me. And just ask God, God, help me to recognize that I need to grow through this, and I can no longer be this way anymore, and I want to be different, and I want to change. And here's the big one. I need your help, God. I need your help. So the steps I'm taking right now, I'm going to do them in faith. But I'm asking that you to enter into my life and give me guidance. And the sins that I've done, the wrongs that I've done, I'm asking you to come into my life and give me forgiveness. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for my selfishness. So I'm going to trust you now, Lord. I want to give my heart to you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.